I've been on the phone. They were trying to grab a bill from a committee, but unfortunately, we have until the end of today's business to get the bill done. So they were threatening to do it, and I said, go ahead and do it. You know, but so I was right, and they were wrong, so that makes me feel good. So, for once. Anything else? Any other comments? We all set on that issue? We get that all taken care of?
Well, I think...
to the best satisfaction of the party?
If people are interested in taking Representative Fletcher's ideas and creating it as an option that would be developed with some policy statements, I think we need to flesh it out a little bit more to make it fit
yes.
into the way this is set up right now. But I think I have a better understanding, at least, of what...
I understand what he's doing. It's just it's coming to the table late. That's all.
Right.
Mr. Chair.
Is it an analogy to what we did with the community renewable energy bill last year with a community renewable energy green standard offer?
Yes.
It may be. I mean, we may be able to use some of that.
You may have already grappled with language on that.
Yeah, and I think this would be, though, sort of, instead of more preliminary, they would be developing, I have to look at the language, I guess.
The PUC might have.
Yeah.
They might have already. Have you put together the process for that, Mitch or Paulina? Sorry to put you on the spot like that, Mitch.
That's okay. Mitch Tenemont, the PUC. We are working on putting together the process for the green standard offer, the green offer that was authorized last session. We haven't done it yet, but we're working on it. There's a lot of logistical types of issues to figure out how to do it. But this would be similar, and it could be done sort of together. Be two different products, but it could be done with the same kind of process, probably would be the way we do it.
Okay. And something I think we take away from the discussion so far is that we just wouldn't mandate any particular purchases.
Representative Van Wee.
Yeah, I think the point was made earlier, but I was a little confused because Dr. Nixon was talking about trying to fit it in this hierarchy. I don't think it really fits in the hierarchy. I think we're talking about a long-term contract here. And if you're trying to determine conditions that are either in the contract or not in the contract, this is one that I think would be hard to have in the contract. If you develop a long-term contract with the supplier, we're trying to determine what the rates would be and other things like that, in which case some of these other items are folded in to that rate making or that rate negotiation. I recognize Representative Fletcher's comments, but I think that really then comes to once you have the rates, who buys it, which is kind of a separate decision. So if we're going to include that, it could be in a separate section or related, but I think it would be not a prerequisite to contracting, whereas these other things are either prerequisite to or part of the contract negotiation process. And again, we talked about a little bit that this is probably one of the more open RFP contract negotiations that you'll see just because there's so many unknowns as opposed to being your standard RFP where you have very, very tightly specified terms and conditions that you're looking for. I think in this case we're going to get proposals but then try to figure out how to work it in. So I would just say I'd suggest we move it out of there.
I think it would work better to have it be part of the bigger picture than structurally.
And I see Mr. Thibodeau's just itching over there, and I don't know.
I'm ready to bring in the
okay.
A long reliever.
And we're getting into the next section, too, where we're talking about terms and conditions and other things that relate to it. But all this discussion relates to ratepayers, and the other thing that I had distributed also from the IECG talks about risks that go into power line construction and potential targets that allow us to build ahead of the required demand, which are also ratepayer issues. And I have to ask, are we going to get a comment from the Office of Public Advocate as to what their analysis of these various proposals are affecting ratepayers? Because I haven't heard that, and I don't see anybody from the Office of Public Advocate in the room, and I think that's a major shortcoming of this discussion.
Representative Thibodeau.
I don't know if I have anything really to add to that other than I'm grinning from ear to ear because, you know, I mean, this is where is the Office of Public Advocate on this bill? We're talking about 25 megawatts of power, potentially at a greatly enhanced rate, and yet they choose not to weigh in as to whether this is a good thing for the ratepayers of the state of Maine or not. Somebody's got to explain to me why the Office of Public Advocate is missing in action. I don't understand. And if I don't know if he's gone on vacation, certainly there's got to be somebody down in that building that should be here representing the consumers in this state. I think Representative Fletcher has done a wonderful job serving in his absence. But I'm not sure that necessarily is his, you know, his job on this committee. And I appreciate Representative Van Weed bringing the issue forward. Has anybody talked to him? I mean, is there any discussion, or is he not interested in this issue? I throw that out there because for us to go forward and vote this out without ever hearing from our public advocate is an absolute travesty. I'm just taken back.
Well, thank you, Ms. Tilbury.
I'll just say that. Thank you. My name is Karen Tilburg, Senior Policy Advisor with Governor Baldacci. I should have prefaced my earlier statement by saying that Governor had been concerned at the outset with an initial draft of the RFP because of its the original proposal would have immediately had ratepayers absorb the costs. And frankly, directed me to work with the entire team to develop a way to minimize the impacts, and Richard Davies was made aware of that. I think it is something we'll certainly give him a call and see where he is personally right now, physically. But the issue of rates is something that is very much part of our discussion within our team, and it was very much something that we've been trying to figure out how to minimize those rate impacts.
Mr. Chair?
I don't know if I had exercised enough lead time on this, but I did contact the Office of the Public Advocate, and I think the message I got was that at least at this time the office was not weighing in on this bill. To be fair, that wasn't a direct conversation with the office, and I would take as much blame on that because I didn't take an opportunity when I had enough time to talk with the office, but we exchanged messages, and that's the message I got back.
Representative Thibodeau.
And I know, look, time's short, and we can beat this, and then we're going to go nowhere. I just want to point out that Dick Davies is not a member of the governor's cabinet. I appreciate the governor being concerned about rates, but we had that discussion last session. We had a bill that was passed through this committee and is now law, and for the public advocate not to weigh in on this very, very important issue is boy, I am extremely disappointed. And we've got the bells ringing. We've got work to do. I hope that I'm not the only member of this committee that's highly offended.
I think this is probably a good time. Your bell's ringing. I'm ready for a roll call. I guess I just got called as a roll call imminent. It might be a good time. I believe the appropriate thing to do would be call the public advocate, ask the public advocate personally if he wants to weigh in or his office wants to weigh in. And if he does, then he can I'll ask him, or the two chairs will ask him to come over. And I'm sure he will if we ask him. And
Mr. Chair,
if he's around, that is. Ms. Tilburg?
Karen Tilburg. I did email him a minute ago, and he is on his way.
Oh, very good. Thank you.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman, I would indicate that in the interest of the very large family that we are, and with all the interest any big family has, the advocate, in fact, has been here many times, sitting in that corner, I think as recently as yesterday. And, of course, his largest concern and that of the staff right now would be the Fairpoint case, which we have,
yes,
in fact, instructed them to take a special care of.
Yes.
A lot of short fuse timelines in that, and a lot of very few people are actually the experts on it in that office. So I would, in that respect, want us to be assured that the family is spread thin. It's still a family, and we're all trying towards some common goal. My other comment would be that it would only take a phone call in order to have someone come, and you've anticipated that comment, and I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for those remarks. Well said. So we're going to, I think, it sounds like they're still ringing. Have you called the house at all? Are they?
That's just for us going in.
Oh, just going in?
Yeah.
Why don't you just call, if you could, the clerk's office and find out what the timing is. Anything else? Now, what do you have? Do we have anything else?
I had a small point.
Yes, yes, Representative.
If we go back to Section A-10, the insert, in reading it through, I became a little concerned about the language. Okay. Regarding the RFP with the paragraphs that are numbered at the bottom. As I understand it, these are all requirements for a supplier. And paragraph number 4 reads, has pertinent experience in the tidal power or offshore wind industry as applicable, including in the case of deep water offshore wind energy, experience regarding construction and operation of floating wind turbines. That language possibly could be fine. What I'm a little concerned about is that it might be interpreted to require that the company have actually been one of the ones floating turbines, and we just haven't had that many floated around the world. And I wouldn't want another good company that has relevant experience to be disqualified. So I think a simple language change instead of experience regarding, experience relevant to construction, or I'd be open to any other language that achieves the same thing so that we could make sure we have enough competitors for the
I think that's
contract.
An excellent point, Representative Fletcher.
Not to be answered now, not knowing when we're going to down, but I would like some feedback from the PUC as to how you would administer this. And here's a specific question, and of course it's what anybody would interpret the words to mean. Has the technical and financial capability to develop, construct, and operate? I would think of that as somebody who's actually done it to have been able to demonstrate that they've done it. But since this is emerging technology, what would be the evaluation process you'd go through to make that technical determination, because it's like the guy who invented the first airplane, right? You know, Orville and Wilbur, right? Or whoever it was. How are they going to demonstrate they can do it if they've never done it?
I think, first of all, I think we need a clarification on Representative Adams' historical clarification, please.
Thank you.
The first American, or the first person known to have flown, was a man named Gustav Whitehead in Connecticut. I'm not making this up. The Wrights gave the Flyer, their plane, to the Smithsonian on the promise that the Smithsonian never find anybody else flew before them. And the Whitehead plane is in London, in fact. But that's neither here nor there, because my good friend Mr. Fitz points out it was Mr. Da Vinci who drew the first drawing, and I bow in all things except my vote to my good friend Mr. Da Vinci.
We are practicing for a show, Jeopardy show. I think.
Yes.
It's potpourri. Called. That was potpourri.
So you think you know?
That was potpourri.
So you think you know Representative Fitz is the name of the show?
So if there was an RFP for the flight, it could have been Whitehead, Da Vinci,
yeah.
Wilbur, or Orville. There could have been some competition. That's good.
I'm trying to keep it light. We just received word from the clerk of the House that they will call us when there's a roll call. So we're in good shape there. We bought a reprieve anyway for some more time.
We don't need the debate.
And so we don't. That's right. And you don't need the debate downstairs, of course.
Call us and tell us what's up from time to time, so we don't.
Well, the chamber system.